The percentage of Defense Department contract dollars the Pentagon awards via competitive bids has been falling every year since 2008. And its self-imposed goals for contract competition have been missed every year since then. Now, Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics Issues, a set of orders to Pentagon leaders. Federal News Radio's DoD reporter Jared Serbu joins us with details. Jared, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what's going on? What is Frank Kendall trying to do here?
Well, as you said, competition is something that he views as very important. I think every time I've heard him speak over the past 2 or 3 years, he's mentioned that competition, in his view, is the single best thing the Defense Department can do to lower prices. And that's something that the department is very much interested in as part of its entire Better Buying Power initiative. And as you mentioned, since 2008, the number of dollars that DoD puts on contract that go through competitive bid processes have been declining. It was 64% of those dollars in fiscal year 2008. It's been coming down every single year since then, to the point where we're now at 57% as of fiscal year 2013. So in a memo on Friday, Mr. Kendall issued a series of guidelines and signaled that the department is going to come out with a whole bunch of additional regulations to try and get after this problem. For example, contracting officers already, when they go through the process of issuing a sole source award, in other words, one to just a single contractor without going through a competitive process, they're already required to issue what's called a justification and approval notice that explains, look, here's why this is going to a single contractor, why we didn't do competition, why there's only one responsible source for this product or service. And then they have to explain what they're going to do in the future to keep this from happening again, to make sure that they get competition in the next round of contracting for this product or service. So that's already in place. What's changing here is that the next time, if they do that again, if they have to do a J&A for a second time for that product or service, it's got to be approved one level above, one level higher in the chain of command, and they have to explain why whatever plans they had in place in the past to make sure there was competition in the future didn't pan out exactly right. Another thing is with regard to those justifications and approvals, they need to also publicize a request for information to industry in order to basically prove that there's only one responsible source for this product and service, product or service. And then the results from that RFI, whatever industry sends back, they have to incorporate that into the J&A. So those are a couple of the examples of the things Mr. Kendall is ordering to try and increase competition within DoD.
So reading between the lines, it sounds as if the higher-ups at DoD feel that in a lot of cases where there are these JNAs or justification for sole sources, the memos, that there are in fact probably other industry players that could have been invoked if only the market research had been done.
Yeah, I think that's how I would read between the lines as well. And I think this may be one of those situations where as there's fewer staff and fewer resources available to the acquisition community, you know, sole source awards are one of those things that just increase because you have fewer resources to conduct competitions. Competition is a good thing. I think everyone acknowledges that, but it also takes time and it takes resources. It's kind of the same thing that we're seeing, I think, around lowest price technically acceptable contracts. They're increasing in use for one reason, because they're cheaper and easier for the acquisition community to use as opposed to some of the other competition methods that DoD has at its disposal.
Yeah, so best value then, which can be higher initially for acquisition if you can prove lower life cycle costs, seems to be out of favor just because of the fiscal situation.
That's right, and we should say also LPTA was one of those tools that was probably not used out of the toolbox as much when DoD had plenty of money at its disposal, when cost was less of a factor during the Afghan and Iraq war years, when DoD wasn't necessarily always looking at price as much of a factor as it is right now. Yeah, go ahead.
So you're also reporting this morning, Jared, that the Defense Department, Frank Kendall's office, is going to be issuing a 24-page guide to competition. And that's a little bit like sort of kindergarten, isn't it, for some of these contracting officers that are really versed in the federal acquisition or the DFARS?
Yeah, it's a tough line to walk, I think, for Kendall's office, because he wants folks to do what his office sees as the right thing, but he also doesn't want to be overly prescriptive. He wants people to use their heads. He doesn't want to tell people what to do in every single situation. And the department learned that when it came out with its first round of the Better Buying Power initiative. People took that as gospel, as we've talked about before, and used it as basically a prescriptive guide to what to do in every situation, and that's not what the department wanted to see. So in this round of the guide, as I wrote on federalnewsradio.com this morning, it's really as opposed to prescriptive guidelines, it's more of here's some case studies of ways that elements of the Defense Department have gotten good results in competitions before. So it talks about things like, make sure that you at least consider using an open systems architecture so that you can break apart components of whatever Defense Department product or service you're buying and compete them on an ongoing basis below the level of the prime contractor. It talks about trying to make sure that you have a good plan for how you're going to handle data rights at the outset of an acquisition so that you can make sure that that the government owns the intellectual property that's associated with whatever product or service is involved, so that there's a competitive environment there, but also that you're not demanding so much an intellectual property from the contractor that nobody's going to bother bidding in the first place and that it's going to be a big put off to industry.
We're speaking with DOD reporter Jared Serbu. And so to what extent do you think Kendall feels and DOD feels that what it is that they put out for bid, even when it is a sole source, is transparent to other industry players that might be able to bid, even though it looks like it's headed toward a sole source?
I think that probably varies a lot case to case, but I think definitely in a lot of cases there, and I think this is pretty clear from the guidance, there's plenty of situations where it's not transparent to industry. That's mentioned a couple times in the guidelines that DOD and its contracting officers need to do a much better job at continuously communicating with industry prior to the award, with requests for information, with draft requests for proposals. And I think one key takeaway here is, yes, the department thinks in a lot of cases, definitely not all, but in a lot of cases, these justification and approval notices that say, hey, we're going with a sole source award on this one, is the first and last that the rest of industry ever hears of the matter.
Yeah, it's almost like that ad, I never knew those houses were there, and there are right. All these companies out there. And just to switch gears for a second while we have you, you're also reporting on the VA this morning at federalnewsradio.com that a new patient scheduling system seems to be the bids for that contract are on the fast track.
Yeah, that's right. The department announced that yesterday, and they've certainly been looking at this for quite a while, as we've reported for a long time. The department's in the middle of modernizing its entire medical record system, Vista. It's been working on that for several years with some help from the open source community. Vista, of course, has been released by VA into the open source world. And the medical appointment scheduling system has been part of that modernization and this sort of slow iterative process. But, of course, the Phoenix scandal and other patient delay issues across the country have kind of kicked it into high gear. So VA announced yesterday that it would be issuing an RFP sometime during September. But in the meantime, sometime between now and then, it's going to issue a draft RFP, and it hopes to award the contract by the end of the year. So a pretty aggressive timeline. I think the reason they think they can do that so quickly is they're going to rely almost entirely on commercial off-the-shelf software. And they think they've kind of already proven that that's possible, because they back in March of 2013 of last year, they did a challenge competition and with the goal of awarding money to any outside group, industry, academia, who could prove that they could build a patient scheduling module that interfaced with Vista. Turns out a few firms did, and they wound up awarding $1.8 million to a team of developers led by a company here in Washington called MedRed.
And to what extent does the scheduling system, does it have to tie into Vista, or is it something that can stand alone because it's just a calendar and buildings and times a day?
Yeah, I don't have a huge amount of visibility at that level of detail on what needs to work with Vista and what doesn't. Obviously, you would think that it would be ideal if all the modules are talking to each other. But I guess in theory, yeah, it doesn't necessarily need to tie into Vista. It can stand alone as long as you can make appointments and get people into the system efficiently and there's no secret waiting lists. I think that's all to the good.
All right. A newsy morning for Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio's DOD reporter. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.